50 of the Book of Praise. The fourth commandment reads as follows. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And we will turn to Lord's Day 38, which is on page 554. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God, to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do you keep the Sabbath day? When you get up on Sunday morning, is Sunday a day you look forward to? When you consider your Sunday, is it a day of celebration and fellowship, a day of rejoicing? Or do you consider your Sunday a solemn day, separate from the rest of the week? Perhaps you have a list of things which you are unable to do on the Sabbath. Which of those rules, perhaps, should we be keeping? Or should we be keeping rules at all? We desire in some way to be told in clear-cut lines what is right and what is wrong on the Sabbath. In a similar way, the Pharisees made many rules on the Sabbath. They formed these rules so that they could not break the fourth commandment. Because God's word did not provide them with a clear definition, they desired something to determine what was right and wrong on the Sabbath day. But these rules were motivated from the wrong view of the day of rest. It saw the Sabbath as a rule to keep, a burden. However, when we truly consider what the day of rest teaches us, then we realize that the Sabbath day is a day of joy and celebration, a gift of rest from the Lord. The Catechism teaches us that on Sunday we remember Christ's work and his resurrection, and we look forward to spending an eternity with God in perfection, separate from sin. Therefore, our theme for this afternoon is God gives us the delightful gift of rest in the fourth commandment. And we will see 2 points: the remembrance celebrated by rest and the promise awaited through rest. God gives us the delightful gift of rest in the fourth commandment. Firstly, we will see the remembrance celebrated by rest. When dealing with the Ten Commandments, the Heidelberg Catechism places them in the section of our thankfulness. We express our thankfulness by our good works, which question and answer 91 defines as those which are done out of a true faith, in accordance with the law of God and to his glory. That is the place of the commandments. They express our thankfulness to God for his salvation. And the same is true when we come to the fourth commandment. When dealing with this command, the catechism is very brief compared to some of the other commandments. Maybe it doesn't answer all of your questions. In the Old Testament, this command is mentioned quite often. But again, even in the New Testament, it is not dealt with as much as we would like. We are not told exactly how we are to apply it to our modern lives. But we see that both Scripture and the Catechism emphasize that the obedience to the fourth commandment is done out of thankfulness. Let us consider what Scripture has to say. Firstly, Scripture emphasizes that the Sabbath day is a day of remembrance. In Exodus 20, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And in Deuteronomy 5, the Israelites are told the content of what they were to remember. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Therefore, by the Sabbath day, the Israelites were to remember God's deliverance from Egypt, from slavery. They were to remember how he brought them out of captivity to a newfound freedom. And for this reason, the Sabbath day was set aside to worship and praise God for that salvation. And for the same reason, a man's children, his servants, guests, and even his livestock had to rest on the Sabbath. And every seventh year, a year of rest, the Israelites were to release any Hebrew slave, remembering that they were slaves and the Lord redeemed them. By this, again, the poor were provided rest from their slavery. And thus the Sabbath for the Israelites could in no way be an oppressive commandment, but rather it is a joyful celebration of liberation and deliverance. And that is why Psalm 92, which we sang this afternoon, was a song for the Sabbath day. It reflects on and thanks God for his salvation. Because of God's deliverance, therefore, he commanded the Israelites to keep the Sabbath day. And furthermore, Scripture calls the Sabbath a holy convocation. That is a day of gathering, set apart from all other days. We are to remember the Sabbath day because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. The Sabbath day was established by God and already at creation set apart from all other days as a pattern for his people, for believers to keep. And therefore the Israelites kept it holy by doing what God did, by resting. And that is why when we read the command, it first tells us to keep the day holy, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then it tells us how, by not working. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The Israelites' rest was an expression, therefore, of their thankfulness and their deliverance, their dependence upon God for salvation. In Leviticus 23, verse 3, we read, "But on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work." Now you might ask, what exactly was this gathering of the Israelites then for? The Lord speaks about the Sabbath as my Sabbath, or a Sabbath belonging to the Lord your God. And evidently, therefore, this day was not just a day for the Israelites to rest for themselves and do nothing. No, they would gather together to praise the Lord. Again, this is the reason why Psalm 92 was written, to be sung on the Sabbath. In Numbers 28, we read that they offered 2 male lambs and a grain offering and drink offering in addition to the regular sacrifices. That is, they brought extra sacrifices on the Sabbath day. That is why twice the Lord commands his people to revere his sanctuary along with the command to rest. And the Sabbath was also a day for listening to God's word. In the Old Testament, we don't read of this specific practice, but we read that during the special gatherings, particularly of the Feast of Tabernacles, during the year of release, the law was read. And later we read in Luke 4 that Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath to read a portion of God's word. And so clearly for the Jewish people, the Sabbath was a day of holy gathering to remember God's deliverance from slavery. They would praise the Lord and hear his word. Like the Israelites then, we also celebrate a day of rest in remembrance of God's deliverance in Christ. Our Sunday looks back on Christ's resurrection. We confess in Lord's Day 17 that by his resurrection, Christ overcame death. And we too are, by his power, raised up to new life. This is indeed something to celebrate. Christ's death and resurrection obtained for us access to the final rest that we will receive in eternity. In Christ, we have received salvation from slavery to sin and death. And for this reason, our entire liturgy is a liturgy of thankfulness and remembrance of God's deliverance in Christ. Lord's Day 38 says that the fourth commandment requires that, especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God. We also then, like the Israelites, must gather on Sunday for worship. It is a holy convocation to the Lord. And therefore, with joy, we delight to gather to hear God's word proclaimed, to use the sacraments to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. All these acts are acts of thankfulness and worship. When we hear God's word, we hear the good news of our salvation. We are brought to remember our deliverance in Christ. As Paul says, we hear the good news of Christ crucified. Christ died for our sins to open the way for us to enter into God's rest. And that is glorious news of our salvation. We delight to hear God's word proclaimed, and we are exhorted to be thankful for this deliverance. And in our desire to continue the proclamation of God's word, we must also maintain the ministry of the gospel and the schools, as the Catechism states. The schools here primarily refer to the theological institutions like our seminary, which train the church's future pastors and teachers. And when we use the sacraments, we are again called to remember God's mercy in Christ. Christ instituted the Lord's Supper that we should use it in remembrance of Him. It points us to Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And in baptism, we are pointed to the washing which we are promised as members of God's covenant, even from infancy, as we saw this morning. We also call publicly upon the Lord. The Catechism declares that this is the most important part of our thankfulness. By prayer, we not only show that we depend upon God for all our spiritual and physical blessings and needs, but we also thank God for these spiritual and physical blessings. Most especially, the gift of deliverance in Christ. And finally, we give Christian offerings to the poor as a thank offering. It expresses to God our thankfulness and our desire to give out of the wealth that God has first given to us. And therefore, beloved, all that we do on our Sunday in our liturgy, our acts of thankfulness and worship, when we remember the blessing of salvation in Christ Jesus, and therefore we celebrate the Sunday out of our joy and thankfulness. Congregation, when we have this view of the day of rest, then our questions fade into the background. Then it becomes more of a day of rejoicing in our deliverance in Christ. We would delight to go to God's house even twice to hear His word. We would delight to keep the day separate from all others to show our dependence upon God for our entire salvation and rest. But if we do not rest and gather as God has called us, as we have been called by our consistory, then do we really show our dependence upon God to provide? Do we really show that we depend upon God to provide all our bodily and spiritual needs? Are we thankful to God? And therefore, the Sabbath or Sunday is a gift to be celebrated and enjoyed. It is not a burden of rules. No, as our Lord says, the Sabbath was made for man. But it must be a day of thankfulness and remembrance for our God's deliverance, and therefore a day of worship to our God. And therefore, beloved, if you must have one rule, have this one: that you will not do anything on the Sunday that distracts or hinders you from the worship of God. Let me repeat that. That you will not do anything on the Sunday that distracts or hinders you from the worship of God. After all, it is a day holy to the Lord. Now, some may ask whether the Sunday really is a continuation of the fourth commandment. Or is the fourth commandment fulfilled in Christ? When someone asks this, generally they do not mean fulfilled as Christ used it. They generally mean that Christ has rendered the law complete and therefore obsolete. But this would leave us with but 9 commandments, whereas the 10 commandments were given to us as a unified whole. Christ himself says in Matthew 5, "I have come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." And here the word "fulfill" does not mean that Christ abolishes them so that they are ended, but that its true meaning is found in Christ. And the Sabbath rest and our Sunday point us to Christ's sacrifice. That we do this now on a Sunday was because the church chose to commemorate Christ's resurrection when he rose from the dead, defeating death and ultimately our slavery to it. But that does not mean that Christ removed the law entirely. Instead, we have all the more reason to celebrate on our day of rest because of the deliverance we have in Christ. And therefore, do you delight in going to God's house? Children, do you love to sing praises to your God? When we go to God's house, we do so because we are delighted to be reminded of our deliverance from slavery in Christ. We remember and celebrate this deliverance. And therefore, our Sabbath, our Sunday, is a gift to be enjoyed, not a burden to be carried. We delight to render our thanks to God for his great love in Christ Jesus. But the day of rest does not just point us back to the deliverance that we have in Christ. For even today, we do not experience that deliverance in full. We do not live without the taint of sin. And therefore, we look forward to the promised rest when we will enjoy communion with God in perfection. And that is what we will see in our second point, the promise awaited through rest. The Jewish Sabbath also looked forward in expectation. It was a shadow of the Sabbath rest to come, the rest that God's people would receive. The Sabbath and Sunday were never an end in themselves, but they always pointed forward to something bigger and greater. They pointed forward to a greater rest. We read from Hebrews 4, verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on." The text is saying that the promised land did not bring forth the final rest God promised. For otherwise, God would not have spoken of another day through David, that is, a greater day. In Psalm 95, David says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." The Israelites did not enter the final rest, but through David, God still makes the promise of a future rest. Otherwise, he would not have said today, that is, right now, "Do not harden your hearts." And therefore, the conclusion of Hebrews 4 is that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And that is why Israel's Sabbath foreshadowed a future and a greater Sabbath rest. The Israelites had not yet attained the full promised rest. And so also in our day of rest, we have not attained the final rest which God has promised to his people. Certainly we have attained a wonderful position of deliverance from the dominion of sin and Satan. But we still struggle with the remnants of the old nature. We have not been delivered entirely in this life from the flesh and body of sin. And so we still look forward to the day when we will experience full rest from our slavery, full liberation. Then we will dwell in perfection. Jesus himself promised this in Matthew 11, where he calls out, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Christ we receive rest. Rest from the slavery of sin and death. Congregation, just as the Israelite Sabbath was a shadow of the rest that God's people would receive, so also we look forward to the eternal Sabbath, which we will enjoy with God in perfection because of Christ Jesus. And so how do we wait with expectation for this promised rest? The Catechism tells us how, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. We strive to begin already now, in this life, our rest. Our rest from slavery to sin. We desire to experience liberation already now from our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And therefore, I do this by resting all the days of my life from my evil works. And this is why Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." We must strive to put away this evil and unbelief. We acknowledge that of ourselves we cannot do this. Christ has indeed delivered us from the dominion of sin and death, but we ourselves are still inclined to all evil unless we let the Lord work in us by his Holy Spirit. Our reading in Hebrews says that the Israelites were unable to enter God's rest because of their unbelief and disobedience. And of ourselves, we also are unable to produce faith in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, it is only by the grace of God's Holy Spirit that we can already now strive to rest from our evil works. Do you therefore seek the grace of the Holy Spirit? Do you seek that He would work within you? By the grace of the Holy Spirit, we put off the old nature in this life and we put on the new nature. We are renewed after the image of God. And this is how we rest from our evil works. We keep the commandments of our Lord. And this is also why we need continually to rest from our physical labor and gather weekly to hear God's word. God is pleased to use both His Spirit and His word to work faith within us. The reminder that we receive of God's salvation produces within us a desire to show our thankfulness to God by following His will for our lives. And therefore, beloved, do you show that you are thankful to God by your obedience, even by your obedience to the fourth commandment? Do you show that you delight to do His will and rest from all your evil works? Do you show that you believe in Christ as the one who secures your eternal rest? This is a call for us to believe and turn from our evil ways. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience as the Israelites. Therefore, when we let the Lord work in us through His Holy Spirit, we are transformed and begin already in this life to rest from our evil works. We begin the eternal Sabbath and show that we are thankful to God. Now, congregation, that final rest will not simply be one day. It will be an eternal rest from all evil. We will live in absolute perfection with our God. The dwelling place of our God will be with man, and they will be His people. We will, with all the saints, praise and worship Him for His great salvation. A glorious ensemble. We will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Beloved of the Lord, how great will that day be? So great that we cannot even fully comprehend it now. Where we eagerly look forward to it. We look forward to that promised rest. Because God is faithful, His promise will come true. We will see the new heaven and the new earth in perfection. Beloved, look forward to that glorious rest. And when we look forward with such eager anticipation of this reward, then, beloved, death will be no longer something to fear. No, death is now a blessed portal to this rest. By death, we are fully freed from all the power of sin. We will dwell with God in perfection. Brothers and sisters, isn't it a glorious thing that we can look forward to our final rest from all sin? In Christ, we have been delivered from the power and dominion of the devil. And therefore, on our day of rest, we look back in celebration and joy. We celebrate our deliverance and our salvation in Christ. That is good news. We will delight in going to God's house to be reminded of our Savior's death and resurrection. We delight in singing God's praises, and we will keep the day holy, separate from all other days of the week in thankfulness to God. But we have not yet fully attained that rest in all its full glory. We look forward to that rest in perfection, and then we will dwell with God in glory. Beloved, look forward to that rest. Look forward to it by allowing the Holy Spirit to work within you already now, and rest from all your evil works in this life. Indeed, what a glorious rest we long for. We long to be liberated in full from all sin. Beloved, may the day of rest never be a burden to you, but a joy and delight, because you know what your God has done for you. How great is our God's deliverance. Therefore, beloved, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen.